In the year 2010, Blue Corps Studios made a movie about Mega Man. His job was to fight Dr. Wily and defeat his evil machinations. Now, in 2024, Dan and Maxi tackle this film once again. Welcome to VGTMTP. I'm Dan.
I'm Maxi.
Watch the Mega Man fan film. It sure is a fan film.
You know, I'll tell you what. Of the two video game mascot fan films I can remember from approximately this era, this is definitely the better of them.
Is the other one the Sonic one? Because I think this was made by the same guy.
Oh my god, I think it was. Hang on, let me double check.
Blue Corps Studios. Yep. They made a Sonic one, and they made the Mega Man one. And this one doesn't have, like, a weird CG Sonic the Hedgehog in it, so that's better.
Well, it makes up for that with a weird CG Guts Man, and a weird CG Cut Man, and a weird CG Bomb Man.
You know what? When you're right, you're right. I'm just... looks like they, also, 7 years ago, I guess at like 2016 or so, they did a Five Nights at Freddy's versus Ghostbusters fan film.
Fucking sure.
Uh-huh.
Why not? There's ghosts in the animatronics.
Yeah. There's ghosts in there, I guess. And 4 years ago, they made a sci-fi short film called Sandbox. It's got a lot of, like, accolades written on the, YouTube thumbnail. The Sonic fan film, as we all know, is like 18 minutes long and features, Jaleel White, the angry video game nerd, and the nostalgia critic. This one doesn't quite have those stars in it.
No, but it is much, much longer.
Yes, it is a feature length film, which is part of why I chose to talk about it. If you want to hear about the Sonic fan film, you can listen to the Sonic Shuffle. We have an episode on that.
Before we even get into, like, the actual movie, I just want to say, hey, anybody out there, if you're planning on making an independent film, I'm going to give you some advice about scope. Either do a short action piece... or a long, but, you know, grounded piece that you can shoot entirely with just, like, you know, in alleyways and in your apartment and in your friend's weird office and shit.
Mm.
Maybe don't try and do a full-length sci-fi action extravaganza when your budget is a pirated copy of Maya Autodesk or whatever. And, like, $10 for shawarma. What games you been playing, Dan?
I have been playing two games in particular. One of them is Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. And the other is Helldivers 2. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth is a really, really good game, and it might be the best game in the series so far now.
I do like it a lot. I think it does a great job, taking what they already established in 7, and being like, all right, so how do we, like, make this more of its own thing?
Yeah.
I like how there's, like, much more of an emphasis on the movement mechanics
and
combination attacks and stuff. And I also really like that Kiryu's limit break is just, fuck you, it's Yakuza 1.
Yeah, you just get to do fucking rush combos and shit. It's so good.
For the next 10 seconds, I can kick your ass as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck turn economy.
I'm actually, like, on the final chapter. I just got to it earlier today. It's really neat that, like, they take a lot of time to, like, Kiryu's chapters are, Kiryu's side content is basically all about, like, revisiting stuff from older games. And some of it's pretty wild. Like, throughout, like, the maps are these, like, reminisce spots where you can just think about something. And there's, like, 3 based on side games he could not possibly have actually been in. One is about, 2 of them are about the, one set in, like, feudal Japan and Bakumatsu era Japan.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, I had this crazy dream that I was Miyamoto Musashi in a past life.
It was
so vivid.
It was so beautiful, and I loved it so much. And I think one of them, I haven't visited it, but one of them is just about the time he, the time he had a dream about, a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff where you can just, like, hang out with, there is a lot of, like, there's a lot of stuff put into, like, just, walk and talks and, like, meal side conversations. Just a lot of getting to, like, have your characters hang out and talk with each other. It's nice. I think it really gives, like, a little extra depth to them that, if it was just, like, the story, you wouldn't have gotten. Of course, there's also Dondoko Island. They put Animal Crossing in the game.
They put Animal Crossing in this fucking video game just as a side quest. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
I fucking love it. I'm very entertained that it just has 2 real actual mascots in it.
Yeah. They're just in a lot of stuff, is my understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in, like, the Grand Blue Gacha, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta say, really good game. As for Helldivers 2, Helldivers 2, pretty alright. I think it's a fun game. I feel like doing the Starship Troopers thing is really fun. I love that sort of thing, but also I feel like there's kind of like a weird impasse in terms of message, because they want to make, the messy, like, violent, thing that is Starship Troopers, but they also kind of want to make a cool action game.
It's kind of related to the whole, there's no such thing as an anti-war movie, you know, thing that has been posited, but made worse by the fact that if you are the one engaging in the violence, kinda gotta make the violence fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it can't even just be spectacular. Mm-hmm. It has to be satisfying.
Yeah. Like, I think, making it so that a lot of it comes at your own expense is a good way of, like, approaching that. But it's not, it's a little imperfect. Still, yeah. Fun to play, I gotta say. Entertaining. What about you? What have you been up to?
I've also been playing some, like, Dragon Infinite Wealth. I've been playing a lot of Balatro.
Oh, yeah.
Poker roguelite. Mm-hmm. One of those games that makes me really mad sometimes, but I keep coming back, because when it comes together, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
When you get those synergies, when you get, like, your multipliers and your multipliers up, and you're fucking getting, like, 500k in a single hand, it's like, damn, this is good, actually. I love this. And also over this weekend, I played something called The Fabulous Fear Machine, which went under my radar until I heard somebody talking about it in a Discord server. It is a sort of short strategy game. the premise is, it's sort of an EC Comics homage where you play as one of three characters who has a wish that they want to achieve by terrorizing the world into submission.
Oh my goodness.
Like, so you use this machine to spread urban legends and shit to get people in a state of fear so that they will, like, buy products for your pharmacy or support your mayoral candidacy or join your cult.
Oh my god.
it's extremely stylish, a little on the short side, but, you know, I don't think that's a cardinal sin when it comes to indie games, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely worth the price of admission, considering.
Yeah, I'm looking this up. Looks like they also made Do Not Feed the Monkeys, a game I've never, like, actually seen in action, but have always been, like, a little bit curious about.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I don't really know too much about, like, how it works.
Yeah, same. This looks great. I should definitely check this out. Let's get into this Mega Man fan film.
Yeah, let's.
We, of course, open, with, I think they call it they give this city, it's clearly New York, but they give it, like...
Yeah, no, it is just straight up New York City, and they don't do anything to make it look futuristic.
No, they just shot New York. I'm surprised it was specifically New York, and...
I mean, that's probably just where they were.
Yeah, I guess it worked out for them.
They call the city Fujiwara City exactly once.
Yeah, they call it Fujiwara City. We've got Dr. Light and Dr. Wily. They run a little, like, robotics group. And their thing is they make robots. Dr. Light is a very professional doctor. He seems like the kind of guy who would tell me I need to lose weight instead of getting actual treatment. And Dr. Wily is a cartoon character.
Dr. Wily is so fucking funny in this. He is chewing the scenery and I love it.
Yeah, he's got like Dr. Light just looks like a dude. Dr. Wily is like, he's got the fucking like, eyebrows. He's got wild ass salt and pepper hair. He's got a big mustache.
He looks like he's covered in Vaseline, so he always looks kind of sweaty.
He's just a real cartoon character, and I kind of like it.
I think Dr. Wily is the high point of this movie, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Him and Proto Man are both fucking awesome.
Yeah. And also there's Roll. She's wearing a blonde wig.
It is so funny how much of a blonde wig it is.
Mm-hmm.
And later they do make a joke where, like, she asks Rock if her hair looks fake, and he just has no idea how to respond.
Yeah, they get an interview from the news. They talk very professionally. Dr. Wily is constantly mean-mugging the camera.
He's trying to grab the spotlight so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, a big part of his motivation here is he's kind of a glory hound.
Yeah.
And I will say, I think it's maybe a little shitty of Dr. Light to not even take a moment during the interview to be like, and I couldn't have done it without the aid of my longtime collaborator, Dr. Wily, who is a mechanical engineering genius.
Yeah.
You know, throw him a fucking bone.
Yeah.
Man.
He deserves it. Especially because we learned they have made, 6 full-on robot people.
Yep.
Plus
Roll, plus, you know, a secret.
Yeah.
The secret 8th one. We'll get into that.
We'll find out about him.
I really like, there's a couple things that I really enjoy about them introducing the robot masters. One is that 3 of them are very mechanical looking and are made in the type of CGI you would expect from a from an independent, like, hobbyist project in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And the other three are just men in costumes.
Yeah, it's like motocross gear. It's very funny.
And the other thing I love is that Light calls it, he talks like a Homestar Runner character. He's like, this is a Lechman. This is Gutsman. This is Heatman. Sorry. This is Heatman. I'm working on Megaman. It's a very silly thing to hear.
It's great. I will say I love the confidence with which he says this. There's this bit about, like, won't the robots steal our jobs? Of course not. We'll have to hire maintenance guys.
They're gonna create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna make the economy so much better.
Mm-hmm. one of them, Cutman is specifically for deforestation, which is fun to me.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Hey, listen.
It's fine.
You know what's gonna be kind of a recurring element in this movie?
Uh-huh.
I think Dr. Light might be evil.
Yeah, that's just kind of a thing with Mega Man.
He's just kind of better at hiding it than Wily, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, well, we don't do military applications anymore, but this is my robot that has gigantic bombs. It just has an infinite supply of bombs. And this is my robot that can chop anything to shreds.
Yeah.
Normal industrial stuff.
Yeah. After the interview, like, they have, Light and Wily have a bit of a chat, and, Wily is very disappointed with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wily's
also annoyed, first because Light immediately wants to start working on another robot. Mm-hmm. Wily's like, we just finished building a bunch of them. We have no time. We don't have any resources. And also, Dr. Light keeps watching Metal Gear Awesome on the clock.
Yeah, there's just on his fucking computer monitor is this fucking, it's the Newgrounds thumbnail for Metal Gear Awesome on his Mac.
Funny. Why is it there? Close the tab, dude!
Mm-hmm. Also, shout-outs to his photo of his pregnant dead wife.
Aw, dead wife! Anyway, the funniest thing is that Light is, Wily's like, I don't want to work on another robot. Can we have, like, a day of rest? And then he's like, oh, I don't actually need your help. I'm just gonna make this robot all by myself. And Wily's like, obviously mad, because it's like, oh, okay, you're just cutting me out. You just don't need me.
Uh-huh.
Fuck it, then.
Yeah. So he fucking leaves, and we see Dr. Light working on Project MGA underscore MN.
Project Megaman.
Mm-hmm. It's, his name's Rock, he's Mega Man. Unfortunately, Rush isn't in this one, so he can't slide with his dog.
Yeah, no, he'll just have to jump.
Mm-hmm.
I will say something. First of all, I think this montage is pretty well done, well edited. I think a lot of the cinematography in this project isn't the best. Like, I think, you know, you're going to have, it's not going to be Hollywood quality either way, but a lot of the time, like, the lighting just feels kind of weird and blown out.
Yeah, there's like a certain, I don't know how to describe it, this sort of, like, emptiness to a lot of it.
Yeah. But I do think, sort of as a consequence of, I assume, pretty much all of this is just shot on location or in some guy's house, it does feel very real and lived in, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
And I think when you get away with that is when the film starts to lose me.
Yeah. The office is just, like, messy and cluttered and full of, like, extra chairs.
Boxes of papers, yeah. Mm. There's also a class element at play here that I want to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, Light has both his lab in the city, we'll later hear that he has a fucking warehouse in the city, and he has a charming two-story suburban home with a second lab in it.
Uh-huh.
Wily, Wiley, he leaves the downtown lab. He gets home to his crummy apartment.
He's got...
He got groceries, including a box of Raisin Bran.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm looking at the footage. It's just like, a roll of paper towels, box of Raisin Bran. He says hi to his hot computer wife.
It's, it just kills me that they didn't even try to doll up the box. They didn't, like, make it future Raisin Bran or fictional Raisin Bran. No, it's just cereal.
Yeah.
He probably got some 2% milk in the fridge.
Yeah. He has a hot robot wife. He has a hot AI wife named Olga 5000. She's Russian. I think.
She seems Russian-ish, yeah.
Yeah. And while talking with Olga 5000, Dr. Wily is just venting his frustrations. And then suddenly he decides, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a supervillain.
As we've all been when talking to our romantic partners. I'll become the Joker.
That's all you need to do. It'll work every time. Dr. Light, brings in Roll, who is reading Excel Saga, to Mega Man being activated. Oh, also Mega Man has like a blue core.
He's like Iron Man.
Yeah, he's like Iron Man. He like turns on Rock. He's very confused. He's kind of got that autistic robot vibe.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Yeah. So he's like, okay, Mega Man, you're my son. Go learn about stuff.
Go learn about how shitty your sister's pancakes are.
Uh-huh.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah. He eats his pancakes. Dr. Light is wearing a suit to breakfast. I guess he's probably...
He's a scientist. Yeah. He never stops wearing his lab coat.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
He's a professional.
We learn that Roll was activated on Dr. Light's birthday, and Rock is like, was I activated on a significant day too? Like his dead wife's birthday, maybe?
Yeah.
Hey, they also do the same gag from... The Mario movie, sorry, the Illumination Studios Super Mario Brothers movie, which we discussed last time, where their character's from an NES game and they're playing a different game on their NES.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Blue Core Studios should sue Illumination.
Yeah. They're gonna get him like, Carlos Mencia. he is playing Contra. Fucking, what was I gonna say about, oh, you know what? Yeah, I remember now. I forgot to bring this up at the start. Today we are recording on March 10th, Mario Day. There was a fucking video for it, and, they announced they're working on another one, which will be coming out in
Mario movie?
Yes, another Illumination Mario movie, which is...
Oh, God help us. Okay.
It's okay. In April of 2026.
Okay. Well, you know what? This one won't be all backstory, so maybe it'll be good. Do we know the premise?
They didn't announce anything because it's still pretty early in development. Although, it is really funny because the video is, like, titled... Like, it's Mario Day, Mario Day 2024, we're gonna spend a couple, this is a 2.5 minute video, we're gonna talk about, Miyamoto, Chris Meledandri, we're gonna talk about, this Mario movie for about 1.5 minutes, and then we're going to show, some games we're working on, just like a quick, just like Mario Day. It's also, by the way, Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, coming out in May. And We're making Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, and we're porting some Game Boy games to the Nintendo Switch Online. It's just kind of funny to me. The juxtaposition of Illumination Mario and Thousand Year Door, by the way. One of them is the Mario Tennis one, which is, that was one of the RPGs, so I am interested in that. One of the Game Boy games. Sorry about that derail, but to get back into the movie, Mega Man, Rock and Roll go to look at the New York skyline when, a mysterious, other person in red sunglasses and a leather jacket, just walks by very ominously.
He just stares at them and then leaves.
Later, Mega Man, like, goes out into the city and he runs into him again and he's like, oh, by the way, I am a robot.
Yeah. Okay, here's what's really good about this. Rock and Roll hanging downtown, like, it just does that pretty much immediately. Like, one moment they're like, hey, Dr. Light, can we go hang out? And then they're just by the bridge or the pier or whatever. Later on, we're going to get a montage of them hanging around, like, frolicking around the whole city. But it's a flashback, and I don't know why they didn't just put that before the bridge sequence.
It's the magic of editing.
Here's what I'm going to get into here, right? Like, I think the performances in this movie vary from, like, a little bad to actually quite good. I think, you know, the cinematography and the sets are not great, but, you know, considering they're not working with a Hollywood budget or anything, I think they're serviceable. You know, I talked about how I think that there's a nice lived-in feeling at the very least when it comes to where they're shooting. You know, the same goes for the visual effects. Like, they're not great from a 2024 standpoint, but, like, 2010, completely amateur project, you know, you get what you get.
Yeah.
The script is just dog ass.
Mm-hmm.
The script is absolutely the weak link of this whole thing, and it's the one thing that I feel really comfortable being like, even as like a hobbyist fan production, you maybe like do another draft of this one. Dr. Wily, meanwhile, while they're hanging out, he's apparently been spending several days trying to come up with a revenge plan and just not thinking of fucking anything.
You have he's real stuck. He like spins a globe. I thought it would like stop on like an important location, but it just stops in the middle of the transatlantic ocean. Fucking we go back to Mega Man. He's talking with Roll. We get that montage again. We get him going to Times Square and meeting,
Times Square. This isn't New York. This is Fujiwara City.
Yeah, sorry. Fujiwara Square, home to McDonald's, TGI Fridays, and, Rent.
So fucking unreal. Just seeing a fucking sign for Rent. In a Mega Man fan film. Imagining Dr. Wily in the middle of trying to come up with his plan. He's like, I need the minions. Maybe I can steal them from Dr. Light. I need to get out. I need to have myself a night on the town. He just goes fucking to Broadway, gets the ticket for Rent. You know, people criticize this movie. They think people criticize this play. They think it's very naive in some ways and doesn't speak to the whole of the queer experience, but I enjoy it quite a bit. I think it's, for all its flaws, still a classic of theater and of cinema.
And then he laughs evilly on his way out. Proto Man being like ominous to him, I'm gonna say this, I this is not what actually happened, but I like to imagine all the fucking brand name shit showing up, in various, like, dedicated shots. I like to imagine it's some scenario where they think, well, if we include this, they'll have to pay us for product placement.
Can you fucking imagine? Somebody in the cereal company is like, sir, you need to see this. It has 100,000 views already and they're just getting more. And Raisin Bran is in a shot.
Well, we don't have any shit. We don't have any choice. Gonna have to send him a check.
That's how it should work.
Uh-huh.
They should also pay me for having to see it.
Dr. Wily is finally enacting his evil plan. He gets his, like, backpack ready. He gives his goodbyes to Olga because he's never gonna see her again. As he leaves, like, she calls him an asshole. And he breaks into the lab and, makes the robots work for him.
Yeah, he turns them evil. I do like, you know, the non-CGI robot masters do some kind of fun physical acting choices here.
Yeah.
You know, jerking around, taking in their surroundings. Anyway, Wily tells them they're all headed to Dr. Light's warehouse on the outskirts of town, because I guess he has one of those?
I guess.
Hey, who's bankrolling all of this? Is Dr. Light just rich? Like, what's going on here?
Listen, they have a very good economy in Fukuyama City. The tech, you know what? It's venture capitalists. He's being funded by venture capital, I think.
We're not making a profit yet, but we're going to eventually. We just need to make the perfect robot. I'm working on one called Skull Man. Haven't figured out what he's for yet. He does have a scary skull head.
I've got something here for a top man. You guys like tops, right? Fucking Mega Man cannot dance.
This dance scene is so weird.
It's really weird. They, like, awkwardly do the robot.
It's funny because they're robots.
Yeah.
And they're doing the robot.
I feel
so much of this movie, like, the first half of this movie's runtime is just people hanging out. And, like, it's paced weirdly, and I get what they're going for, I think. Like, they're trying to characterize Rock and Dr. Light and Roll before the plot really kicks into gear. But one, doesn't really work for me.
No.
And two, you can't make that half of the movie. That's too much.
Yeah, that's more suited to a more, like, long-form media, you know?
Yeah. Like, if they made this a miniseries, God forbid.
Coming now on Kickstarter. Wily sends out his robots, to just, like, cause chaos. Something about these, about the robot masters is, they're just sort of like, I think they're supposed to be based on the personalities from a PSP game called Mega Man Powered Up, which, like, it was a remake of Mega Man 1, but with, like, cutscenes and a story. So they had to give...
Okay, that would explain it, I think.
Yeah. I know Fireman's, like, depiction is definitely from that. Maybe also a Lekman. So they're causing chaos. I love, the shot. I and the people who made this movie love the shot of Gutsman, grabbing and tossing a CG car because they use it again in, like, a newsreel thing in, like, 2 minutes.
My favorite part of the rampage is when, Fireman is next to some trees and he shoots fire off screen at nothing in particular instead because they did not have the budget to make it look like the trees were on fire.
Yeah. The fucking Frost, Iceman just like, freezing a car. It's great stuff.
There's a couple shots of just some ambulances just like going somewhere, which I assume is trying to imply, there's some kind of emergency response. I don't know.
Yeah. Bomb man standing outside of Charles Schwab.
Hang on, I think we should see where he's going with this.
I think he's onto something here. Rock and Roll are like, Rock is like trying to do Roll's hair. She mentions that, she thinks her hair might look fake. I guess she is a robot, so, you know.
But, and like I said, he's just like, Well. And then just pauses until the emergency news bulletin happens.
Uh-huh.
This part really gets me.
Uh-huh.
They describe the robot masters as unidentified human machines.
Mm-hmm.
And like a minute later, they say a few sources have identified them as Dr. Light's Nobel Prize winning androids. Girl. I think you could confirm that pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just an adjective. It's like a New York Times bestseller. If you can just like pay a bunch of money to get that accolade.
I see.
Wiley hacks into the feed to, intimidate, the audience.
He also does it, I think, because he doesn't want Dr. Light getting credit for his terrorism.
Uh-huh.
He explains that he reprogrammed Jabugaj.
To work
for Dr. Light has a great line here.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel liable for this. Did I make Wiley snap? Yeah, dude, you did.
He did.
You super did. It's your fault. You didn't even say thank you on the interview.
I will say, in the movie's defense, this is just a thing that's in Mega Man as a whole.
It's so funny.
This one,
it's like, did they get into this with like the Proto Men stuff at all?
I don't know. I
it feels like the kind of thing where they'd really be like, damn, Dr. Light fucked this up.
Uh-huh. I just know about it from, like, fandom discourse that I've seen on the, just on the edges of, my knowledge of Mega Man. God. Now I'm just thinking about fucking how the Mega Man fandom, like, for years was very latched onto, a particular headcanon because of Bob and George. Yeah, like, Bob and George, the webcomic, had like, I guess they said, like, at the end of, the classic timeline, Zero goes haywire and kills everyone, and that's what leads into Mega Man X. And I think a lot of people were very latched onto it, especially during this era. To continue on, they decide to, they gotta, like, figure out what to do about this, so they decide to send out Rock. As it turns out, they do have, just a few little weapons lying around. They've got a set of armor, they've got, a plasma gun, and they've got, a weapons copying system.
I mean, that's the thing, that's the really funny thing about Dr. Light, is that he just leaves weapons lying around. Like, another thing is, the warehouse that Dr. Light apparently raided
was
full of Sniper Joes.
Yes, I love this particular detail that they just have an army of Sniper Joes blockading the city.
We never see them.
No.
But also the... Go on.
But they're just sort of out there, and they're depicted with, like, a bit of official concept art.
Yeah. I just like the fact that it's described as Dr. Light and Dr. Wiley's first project. Mm-hmm. And they apparently shelved it because they decided, no, we can't do military projects for ethical reasons.
Uh-huh.
And they just left him lying around in a warehouse!
That's just how it is with... That's fucking military contractor shit 101.
But, like, at least, like... disarm them, like, uh-huh. Take the cannons off and break them down or something. Don't just leave them there.
Mm-hmm. So they send out Mega Man. He gets his cool armor. He is Buster.
Yeah, he's Mega Man powered up now.
Yeah. A fun little, like, series of shots similar to, like, the creation scene where he gets this armor. It gets, like, bolted down onto him, he puts on the helmet, and then he, like, touches, he can apparently teleport, or he can teleport, so he...
Yeah, I mean, they talked earlier about, like, oh, we got a teleportation system, but it only works for inorganic matter, so people can't use it, but robots could.
Yeah, yeah. So they teleport him in, he fights all six robot masters at once, and does pretty good.
Jumps all of them.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of a thing about the back half of this film. They're working on a very low budget, and they're working with three CGI models. So, and I presumably none of these people, like, have the, like, training to, like, do an actual fight scene. So every fight ends in, like, 5 seconds, after they, like, someone grabs someone, or someone shoots a thing, and it's basically over.
Mm-hmm.
What
I love the most about this, though...
Yeah. It's...
So Mega...
Yeah?
Mega Man meets all six robot masters. He chumps them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Wily has them retreat. And then he implements a new strategy. What if... each of you goes to a different part of the city. How did you not think of that already?
I assume they, you know, when I was first watching this, I thought, oh, they must already be in different parts of the city, but no, they were all together.
No, they're just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, this gets away from, okay, well, they only had so much budget. Okay, well, this was, you know, a fan project. This is like, have you ever watched a movie before, territory?
It feels like they wrote this in one draft.
It really does. But even then, it's like, why would you have him fight them all first,
mm-hmm.
and then in sequence? That's just not how you tell a story. Everybody knows that's not how you tell a fucking story.
Yeah, they make him look way too, like, capable. It kind of, like, makes... It doesn't really allow a lot of tension, honestly. So... They divide into zones. Wily, like, talks with the robot masters. Bomb Man's, like, fucking going nuts. I love it. Fucking Fireman. Fireman is, like... Fireman thinks he's a good guy. He thinks he's doing something heroic. It's great stuff.
Iceman has a split personality for some reason.
Yeah,
I guess, yeah, that could be a powered up thing. Bomb Man has nothing going on.
Yeah.
Bomb Man is just like, yeah, I love blowing stuff up.
I
Woo!
Love blowing things up. Mega Man takes some time to, restore his health. And
find out about the dead wife!
Yeah, they find out about the dead wife! Oh.
This script...
Mm-hmm.
I know I keep complaining about the script, but I have to, because the script is the worst part of this movie.
Yeah,
I
would
forgive so much of this movie if the script didn't suck so much ass.
Uh-huh.
It is... It's like the person who wrote this had never heard the word subtext before.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, it's time to beat us over the head with the tvtropes.org/pmwiki/pmwiki.php/main/replacement-goldfish-page-summary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, did you know that he had a wife and she was gonna have twins, but then she died and she didn't have twins, so he made the robots like they were the twins that he never had?
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. This is one of the scenes where I think Mega Man's actor actually does a pretty okay job. He's very hit or miss for me in this.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, Wily, who's fucking always awesome, or Proto Man, who's pretty much always awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, I think he's doing a good job here. It's just that the lines he's saying are bullshit.
Uh-huh. He's working with what he's got, unfortunately. He goes to fight Iceman,
Oh no, he already fought Iceman.
Yeah.
The restoration, he does Cutman.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about Cutman.
Yes, please tell me about
it. I'm willing to elide the first three of them, cause you know, it's just like, oh, he fights them for a little bit and then he kills them.
Mm-hmm.
Cutman is just really pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, he refers to Wily as father, and the way he's, like, talking about this stuff suggests they were kind of going for, like, a childlike and naive characterization to me, but
yeah.
The voice acting doesn't match that. But also, his scissorangs do nothing.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we can't see them cut down a tree. He does that off-screen, because, again, they didn't have the budget to cut down a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And second, when he attacks Mega Man, they just bounce off the armor.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It's really funny. But yeah, he takes him out really quick. He fucking blows him up. Oh, by the way, every time he like finishes one of these fights, he gets a chip.
Yeah, he gets equipped.
Yeah, he gets equipped.
He goes to fight Elec-Man after this. Mm-hmm. I think the introduction of Elec-Man is pretty fun, because, like, you hear the thunder from off-screen before he actually shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it turns out that there's exactly one character in this movie who can actually fight Mega Man.
Yeah. He does pretty good. He's very smug about it, and then
he's Palpatining the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm. I'm rewatching it. It's fucking, it looks nasty. Then Proto Man shows up and no sells him.
Why doesn't lightning work on Proto Man?
He's just that cool.
I want him to take his leather jacket off and he's just wearing a fucking rubber jumpsuit under there. Like, yeah, no, it insulates me.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I wear it.
Yeah. He like talks to Mega Man. He's like, come on, dude, you can do better than this. You should go save the day. I believe in you or something. And then he just sort of like goes away. Mega Man is recovering again and he asks Dr. Light, they made a secret boy before all the other ones. That was,
yes, the first humanoid robot.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, robot.
Yeah, robot. And they made a terrible, terrible mistake. They gave him free will.
It's so fucking funny to me how Dr. Light talks about this. It's like, he had a faulty core which allowed him to think for himself.
Uh-huh.
Unheard of for any machines.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we tried to fix it, but Blues resisted for some reason.
Why would he possibly want his core fixed, you know?
No, I'm just trying to make sure it doesn't kill you. I don't have any ulterior motive in trying to prevent you from having free will. What the fuck is your problem, dude?
God, he really is the true villain. God.
This is also roughly when Mega Man asks Dr. Light about his dead wife, because I guess we haven't gotten enough of the dead wife yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get the whole thing. She was pregnant with twins. Rock and Roll were designed to look like what the twins might have looked like if they were born, if they were adults today.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? It's time to fight Gutsman.
Yeah. They fight Gutsman.
I like the part where Mega Man fucking makes a little icy patch under his feet and he slips.
Yeah, it just lands. It's a very amateur bit where he just fucking hits the ground with like no impact.
There's just like a sad little clunk.
Mm-hmm.
He uses Cutman's blades here as well and they bounce off.
Of course.
I feel so bad for Cutman.
Yeah. He made for deforestation. Blades don't work. Truly the most fucked of all robot masters. Then Mega Man plants a bomb on Gutsman and he explodes. This is when Dr. Wily reveals his secret extra plan, in which we get a slow, dramatic shot, of, his Dr. Wily castle, and he, like, messages the people of the city, like, I bet you're wondering why is there a big fucking rock in the sky?
Did you think that was my only plan, you blue bastard?
Yeah, I guess the satellite dish is a real laser and it fucking blows, like, up a street.
I like the needle drop they picked here, which is Deep Blue by Ladytron. Ladytron, mm-hmm. Great band. Mm-hmm. Good, you should listen to their stuff.
Yeah.
It looks fucking ridiculous seeing this skull-shaped, like, building in the fortress when he's hovering above actual, normal, real-life New York City.
Yeah, yeah. it's great. Proto Man shows up to steal some armor. And then he fucks off so that he doesn't get his free will taken away from him. Mega Man has to fight the Yellow Devil, the hardest boss in the game.
We're not going to explain what it is or why it's here, but he has to fight it.
Yeah. It's one of his robots.
He gets so fucking immediately owned by the Yellow Devil, mm-hmm. and it just, like, squishes him on the ground like a bug.
Mm-hmm. So of course Proto Man's gotta like show up to blow him up. We get a good hero shot of him in his costume. Yeah.
He does genuinely look cool in that shot.
Uh-huh. So
hey, Mega Man's dying now.
Yeah, Mega Man's dying. Mega Man's dying, Proto Man's, like, just brought him over, Rolla's crying, and Dr. Wily has, one last thing to, like, fuck things up, which is...
He has some kind of mysterious weapon hidden in shadow. What could it possibly be?
Surely this blue-helmeted mystery man, what could it possibly be?
Could it be treble and bass?
Maybe.
has he invented Vile? Or is this an original character for the movie? Who could it be?
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking stupid. Why even go through with the pretense, man?
Uh-huh. It's very kids cartoon. Which would work better if it were done right. This could have been really funny. Dr. Light installs a new blue core into Mega Man.
And he's fine.
He's fine.
He goes to confront, Proto Man, and Proto Man gives him the whole spiel. I'd rather die than lose my free will. Proto Man is kind of the only character in this besides Wily where I actually kind of give a shit about his feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think they're a bit more compelling than everything else, but yeah. It also might just be that he's only in so many scenes, and he hasn't gotten a chance to bore me.
Yeah. He only shows up occasionally.
Anyway, Roll sees Mega Man. He's up and about. She's so excited. But, oh no, it's an evil Mega Man sent by Wily. What?
What the fuck?
Real Mega Man is also fine, though.
Yeah, real Mega Man gets up. Roll got kidnapped. Dr. Wily sends a video. It's this fucking, like, the way it, like, fucking pans in on this, like, very zoomed in roll face is kind of spooky.
I like how, he's bragging about being able to create an evil Mega Man, allegedly better and also faster than Dr. Light's Mega Man. He has this little sing-songy, mine's better than yours is. I think it really goes well with, Wily's characterization in this.
Yeah, he's such a cartoon. I love it.
Hey, he also says that Dr. Light built Mega Man in 6 days, which sounds fucking insane. I assumed it took, like, at least a month or two.
Yeah, they have, like, a time lapse during the construction. It seems like it took a month, but maybe it was just, like, the end and start of a month.
Yeah.
Mega Man, has got to set off to, Mega Man has got to, like, rescue Roll. Dr. Wily, like, rants for a while at Roll about, how she only exists because of, because someone died. And, like, he's kind of scary in this shot. It's, like,
he's genuinely, like, selling the mood.
Mm-hmm. The way it's, like, shot in, like, this half light, and Roll just, like, cowering. It's a lot. So Mega Man fucking flies to the castle and blows it up in, like, 2 shots.
And then he teleports aboard, and evil Mega Man has Roll hostage and is like, I'm gonna blow her fucking head off! Wah! I will say, I think Mega Man's actor does a lot better at being the evil Mega Man than the good guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's an award-winning performance either way, but I think it's interesting kind of getting a glimpse into how he deals with his different character.
I think there's something... That does remind me of a broader critical thing, which is, like, a lot of people, like, default to treating, like, villains are more interesting than heroes, but I think it's just that it's more easy to write a villain, because it's kind of fun and entertaining and pretty easy to, like, make up a guy that sucks. And to, like, make someone good is, like, harder and more compelling, because it has to be... The problem is that goodness, in order to be interesting, has to be, like, radical, you know?
Yeah, it makes me think of that one, I forget who said it, that one quote about, like, you know, fictional evil is always exciting, and fictional good is always kind of boring and generic, but, like, real evil is, like, very generic and unremarkable, whereas real good is exciting and energizing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that was, oh, why am I suddenly... She was an incredible writer. Ursi Saga.
Ursula Le Guin.
Yeah. Ursula K. Le Guin. Yeah. Gets resolved by, the evil Mega Man dropping Roll out of an airlock and, the good Mega Man just flying down to save her.
It's so funny, because, like, she gets jettisoned out the airlock, Mega Man gives chase, he basically immediately saves her before anything interesting can happen, yeah. And then he's right back on the Fortress Island like nothing happens.
Yeah, he's just there.
And then he just immediately chumps evil Mega Man.
Yeah. Then Wily fights him in one of his final boss machines, and... Once again, Mega Man gets an easy victory. He does get, like, knocked down from his hoverboard, so that's something. But otherwise the fight's not very compelling. Wily flies off in... Oh, also the robot accidentally blows up the satellite dish and blows up the castle.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, Wily jettisons, like, an escape saucer that was attached to the vehicle. I guess he just lands it in Central Park.
Yeah.
Mega Man confronts him there, because he knows where Wily is, even though Wily wouldn't have a GPS tracker in him?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they probably just, like, looked at that big, stupid UFO or something.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not moving very quickly. We could probably just, you can probably just fly after it.
Yeah.
It's fine. Wily does the, you know, tearful, pathetic apology shtick, like in the games.
Mm-hmm.
They play it weirdly straight.
Uh-huh. And he's going to jail. And the day
we're chilling at the pier again! Woo!
Hooray!
This is, okay, Rock is like, I feel at peace now. I should have just listened to you from the beginning, Roll. Mm. What does he mean by that?
Yeah.
What lesson did he learn?
I don't know. I feel like the conflict he was having was that he just doesn't he's trying to get used to stuff. And I guess he's just used to stuff now. And then he, like, walks, he sees Proto Man, gives a little smile, and the movie ends.
Yeah. I feel like this is a much shorter episode than we usually do, but, like, there's not a lot of meat in this one.
Yeah. Although, we are clocking in about an hour now, so I'd say we got enough to talk about. I should have, like, sent out for questions. Honestly, we could have, like, spent a couple minutes on those.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. In any case, though, how would you rate this as an adaptation, and how would you rate this as a movie?
So, it's definitely gotta be on something of a sliding scale, because, like I said, you know, it's a fan project, it is a hobbyist thing. Mm-hmm. I really... You know, I don't want to hold it to the same standards as a big budget Hollywood production.
Because, exactly, yeah.
You know, you look at something like Street Fighter, and it's like, oh, this is extremely disappointing, and they definitely could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, even judging this as, like, a hobbyist-level project, I think it does have some very real weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Again, primarily in the script, I think the biggest thing is they just overscoped it. This should not have been a feature film.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea. They did not have enough to make a feature film compelling, especially when it relies pretty heavily on these action set pieces.
Yeah.
I think they could have made, like, a fun fan trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of adaptation... I would probably say, like, a 3. I do think it loses a lot from not being able to really do a sci-fi setting, and it's just New York. But, you know, insofar as they're bringing in the characters and trying to, for lack of a better word, give them their due, I think it does a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's an interesting take on Wily. I think they made Proto Man awesome, which is the most important thing, obviously.
Yeah, he is awesome.
As a movie more generally, I'm going to be pretty harsh. I would say, like, probably a 2.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of that is just, you did not have enough to justify the runtime.
Yeah.
I think there are individual scenes in this that I would give up to a 4. And if they had been able to deploy those a little bit more effectively, I think I would come away feeling better about this movie.
Yeah. My general takeaway, like, as an adaptation, I think they clearly knew all the stuff to work with. They just couldn't, like, implement it well. Sometimes through, like, financial constraints, but also sometimes, like, there could have been, like, some punch-ups to the script. If maybe they... I don't know how many takes this took to make, but, like, they could have, like... I feel like they could have done better.
There are definitely places where they could maybe do, like, one or two more takes.
Yeah, like they could have done better. They couldn't do... They were still very limited, but I think there were... If, like, they had focused more on, like... Instead of, like, trying to make it an action film, try to, like, focus more on, like, dialogue and stuff. Frame it a little differently. But... trying to make it an action film, just I don't think it worked out for them. I would say as an adaptation, I would give it a 3, maybe a 4, if I'm being a little generous. And as for the overall quality of the film, I think I agree with you, too.
You know, something I just thought about.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Yeah.
And something about that show, especially in the first season, a lot of those duels are decided fairly quickly and often in a singular blow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's kind of a, you know, classic samurai film, the Kurosawa thing, where it's like the exchange of blows, you wait a minute to see who lost. I think an approach more like that could have salvaged a lot of the action in this movie.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're not going to be having a lot of extended exchanges, both because they probably can't do it safely if they're doing actual physical stuff, and because they only have so much effects budget for the particles and stuff. But I think if they had gone for something more dynamic and focused around dodging each other's attacks until the decisive moment, and also if they had maybe budgeted a little more runtime for the action stuff than for the kind of overdone exposition,
yeah.
I think that a treatment like that could have worked a lot better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see.
Utena is so fucking good.
Yeah.
We just finished the Black Rose duelist arc.
God.
And I'm fucking going insane.
Utena
Wakaba's
rules.
Flourishing. Fucking amazing episode. I'm so excited to watch season 3.
Utena, also a show made on a pretty low budget.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, they figured out a good way to stretch that budget.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of it is, we're going to use this one shot of a staircase every episode, pretty much.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it a really cool staircase.
It's going to be the coolest staircase with the coolest music we can possibly compose.
The fucking music on the staircase is so cool. It's unreal.
Uh-huh. And sometimes they're going to get a little weird with it. Sometimes there's going to be a little loading screen icon in the corner. I think that about wraps things up. Do you have anything in mind for next time?
Honestly, nah.
Nah? I honestly wasn't thinking that too hard either. I could, you know, I was, let's see, I was thinking of stuff we could do more stuff on, and I think maybe we could try, like, try another Pokemon movie. Is there any that particularly grab your attention, or?
How about we watch the Entei one, where he decides to become that girl's dad?
Yeah, let's go with the Entei movie. I saw that one in theaters as a kid.
So did I.
Awesome. Alright, yeah, let's talk about that next time.
Alright, yeah. Well, you can find me at Max Knightley on co-host and Tumblr. That's MaxKnightley.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the podcast Eidolon Playtest. That's an actual play podcast. Where we're playtesting a game written by a GM and one of the players, drawing a lot of inspiration from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Persona.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently playing mystery-solving teens who are up against existential horror, and we're all doing great. We're coping great. Everything's a good time. It is quite funny, though. It's not all, you know, gloom and doom.
Mm-hmm. I need to fucking listen to it some more. It's good stuff. I constantly think about that one thing, Rexy drew that was like, one of the characters like drawing a sword from a stone and thinking me the pussy, if I'm being honest.
I think of that all the time.
I'm Dan. You can find me at a lot of places that include those are all on biggerchallenge.card.co. That includes my other podcasts, which are Pot of Greed, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. We are At the end of, or not the at the end, sorry. We are making our way through, season two. Right now we're in this sort of like arc where like, there's no big arcs happening. It's more of a build up to a larger arc. So there's a lot of like goofy one-offs. The episode we recorded, last week, had this like sort of like Sailor Moon villain of the week vibe that I was kind of into. You can listen to, the Sonic Hustle, Sonic Games and Media podcast. We are making our way through Sonic Adventure 2. We might be done with that pretty soon, actually. You can also check out, Tumblr co-host, and you can check out, or those are Bigger Challenge and Big Challenges, respectively. And you can check out noisepace.xyz. That's the, network this show is hosted on, as well as, my other podcasts. A lot of shows on there. I want to shout out, just real quick that like three different podcasts, just had the first episode, come back after like a very long absence. Two of them, literal years have passed since the, most recent episode, since the episode before the most recent, like My Pod Cabbages, which, the last episode was in 2020, then now they just dropped an episode in 4 years later, to talk about the Netflix, Avatar The Last Airbender series. And the other one is like, there's Comerature Radio and there's, Middle Grade Madness. All right. I think that's everything. So, until next time, I'm Dan.
I'm Maxie.
And this ain't no game.
I was never book smart, I'm money smart. Makes me more intelligent. Call me Mr. Rock Festival. I got hella bands. Shorty cute in her circle too. Told her get a friend. She gon' make me slide with my dog like I'm Mega Man.